Welcome to Corittles. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, time management and the high D, part one.
The questions this cast answers are, what are high D's weaknesses when it comes to time management? What can a high D do to mitigate their weaknesses? And how can high D's improve their time management skills?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We are hosting online effective communicator courses for anyone who wants to increase their skills in communication. The course is over Zoom. We focus on DISC and how to use it to identify techniques to be better understood. If you're interested, please join us August 20th or September 4th. Both are coming up soon. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Corittles has been giving guidance about specific skills we can use in the workplace and how our behavioral tendencies affect them and how we can save ourselves from ourselves for years. And finally, we're getting around to time management. And as you probably know by now, you can't actually manage time. It just happens. It goes on whether you want it to or not. But there are ways you can use time more efficiently, and there are ways that high Ds use time efficiently, and there's ways that high Ds trip themselves up when it comes to using time well. And in this guidance, we're going to talk about some common high D behaviors that are not so useful and how to solve them.
So what we're going to cover in these podcasts are: make a written plan, don't forget the long-term strategy, then don't overcommit, adopt routines to take care of minor tasks, and go slow to go fast.
So before we start telling high Ds what to do to mitigate their weaknesses when it comes to time management, we better tell you what a high D is if you don't know. So high D comes from the DISC model, and DISC is a behavioral psychometric analysis. Basically, it looks at your behaviors and it divides people's behaviors on two axes. There are assertive behaviors and reserved behaviors, and there are task-focused behaviors and people-focused behaviors. So the assertive behaviors are things like people talking loudly and quickly. They move their arms and hands a lot. They tend to move quickly. They tend to act quickly. They make decisions quickly. They tend to think that they can change things and they want to change things. The reserved behaviors are people that talk more slowly. They talk more quietly. They are much more still when they're talking. They tend to think that the world changes around them rather than that they can change the world. They tend to have much calmer faces, whereas the assertive people tend to have much more expression on their faces. The task-focused people are obviously focused on tasks. If they start a conversation with you at work, they're asking you what's been done, what needs to be done. They're talking about numbers and projects, things like things that need to be done, things about tasks. Whereas the people-focused people are talking about people. So if you ask them about a meeting, they'll tell you who was there, not what was done. And so when you combine those two, you get four different types. So in this class, we're going to talk about high Ds who are task focused and assertive. So that means they're fast moving, loud. They believe that they can control things. They want to control things, and they're focused on getting things done, and they assert themselves in order to get things done. The people-focused and assertive people are the high eyes. And if you see them in a group, they're the people that are telling a story. Their hands are moving. There's lots of people around them because they tend to be charismatic. They are laughing and having a good time. They might not think about what needs getting done, but as long as everybody's having a good time, eventually something will get done. The people-focused and reserved people are the high S's. And they're the people who make sure everybody is okay. They care about the people in a very gentle and quiet way. You might not hear from them, in a meeting, but they will go up to people at the beginning and end of a meeting and say, how was that for you? Are you okay? Are you worried about what was said? They make sure that everything is going smoothly. The task-focused and reserved people, the high Cs, are your accountants and your IT people who are very focused on the details. They are quiet in the sense that they're buried in something detailed, like a spreadsheet. They are focused on making things accurate and correct. And we need all four. A team of high Ds would fight with each other. A team of high Is would have a party and never get anything done. A team of high Ss would just love each other and never get anything done. And a team of high Cs would never get anything done because they'd never be sure enough to make a decision. So we need all four, and we need to understand each other. And we are all one of them, and we all have behaviors from all four, and we can all act any way we want to if we think about it first. So in this cast, we're going to talk about more about high Ds and their weaknesses when it comes to time management. And we're going to start with make a written plan. And all the high Ds, don't switch off, because I know they wanted to, because I'm a high D too. And when I was writing this, I was like, no, don't make me write a plan. But make a written plan to make sure the activities you carry out are actually the ones that are going to get you to the goal. And a lot of high Ds will tell you they have a plan, but actually what they have is a list of next actions, in that they know the next thing to do and the goal, but they don't really have all of the things in between. They don't have a thought through plan of how they're going to get from A to B or A to Z. They just have A, B, and then Z. No high D would really willingly write a business plan with mission and goals and objectives and task requirements and utilization of resources. And if a high D has one of those like really complete plans, someone forced them to do it. Like completing it was something that the high D had to do in order to get something they wanted. Like the high Ds don't do it because they want to. Because when a high D has an idea for a project, they get started right away. Like writing a project plan is in the way of getting started, so they don't bother, which is obviously not a good thing.
Yeah, and it takes time to make a plan. And the high D would, again, rather just get started. They really do love a task list of things that they can do right away, but that plan, it takes time before you get started. And there's a rule that once you take 1/3 of the entire time for a project to plan that project, and again, this is what turns high Ds off. They're like, a third of the time just to make a plan?
A third of the time doing nothing before I start? Like, how
I can do so much more in that third of a time, right? And don't worry, everything else will get done. It's fine, right? So a high D's focus is on what they can do right now and what the target is. What comes in between is that fuzzy picture. And when forced, they'll give you the highest level plan they think they can get away with and say, we'll fill in the rest later. Don't worry, not a big deal. The rest will come. Or my favorite is, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, right? We hear that a lot from high Ds. Like, don't worry, when we get there, we'll figure it out. And you may never really get there because if you don't have a plan, I mean, sometimes they're like, we don't need a plan because we don't follow the plan anyways.
Yeah.
And we might never get there. So why make the plan? But it really does help manage your priorities when you do have a plan in place and you know what's coming next. So don't worry if you think your plan's going to change. It's a good starting point and worth your time and investment.
So making a plan has some obvious benefits, which high Ds have heard before, but we're going to remind you. Proper planning prevents poor performance, as the saying goes, or you've probably heard that saying said in numerous different ways, but we're going to use that one. There are a few things that high D hates more than failure, and planning reduces the chances of failure happening.
And when talking about planning, we're talking about breaking down the big goals into manageable steps, increasing the likelihood of success, also making it more likely that the high D will achieve the goal,
which is what they want. It also forces you to think about the messy part in the middle, that fuzzy picture, the bit from B to Z, or B to Z, I should say, I guess. And it forces you to make sure there is actually a path from B to Z and think about the actions that will actually get you there. Because it's possible, not that I've experienced this as a high D, that you can get to E and then discover there is actually no way to get to Z, and that you have to then go back to A and start on an entirely different path because, you know, there's no way to get to where you were going the way you were going there. And if you make a plan, you are forced to think, how am I going to get there? And make sure there are steps all the way there.
Yeah. And not only it forces you to cover the steps, but it also forces you to think about the time and how much time you realistically need to get all of this done. So that can also help reduce overcommitment, because if you think about all the steps and actually take time to think about the time involved, you might realize that this is never going to happen, or, oh, hey, I actually have more time than I thought, because you have that prioritized time thought out ahead of time.
And there's a bunch of ways to do planning, and you don't have to do it with a Gantt chart and a whole bunch of details the way a high C would do it. You can choose something that's fast and action-oriented and time-limited. So you can use a whiteboard and brainstorming. You can use mind mapping, or you can use the flow diagrams. You can use post-it notes on a window, or at a real stretch, you can use Kanban-based software solutions, which are all doing something at the same time as planning, rather than having to fill in a whole bunch of details on a software spreadsheet, which feels like the slowest way to make a plan. So if you find a way to make it, like for me as a high D, like the idea of doing that is like, oh my gosh, it's the worst thing to have to do. Whereas brainstorming a bunch of like high level chunks of the project, putting them on post-it notes and then moving them around, and then okay, what are the chunks of that chunk? And what are the chunks of that chunk? And then having someone else type it up and put it on a spreadsheet and make it look pretty, that I could do. They all cater to the need to take action whilst thinking, to be moving whilst thinking. And if you're just scribbling on post-it notes, that goes as fast as you can think. Whereas if somebody else, or even yourself, is typing in software, it never goes as fast as I can think. It rarely goes as fast as I can type. So that's just really annoying. and also, I can see the results really quickly. I can see the window filling up with post-it notes. And so I can see something happening. And that makes that method of planning feel much better than, you know, filling up software.
Yeah. And now stick with me here, Heidi's. Planning a meeting with others might sound awful, right? We know our high Ds out there, they just like to get things done by themselves. But it does make planning less tedious. So if you're using that software and working with other people to help you make this plan, yes, it's a little bit more tedious, but you can use these techniques described by Wendy to help you, and others can also help you do that heavy lifting of writing in all those tasks. So I know working with other people might not sound very exciting at first, but it can really help you make the plan more effective, more thought out, because other people can help brainstorm. We'll look at those smaller chunks. Some folks might be a little bit better at breaking it down than you. So a planning meeting is a great method to like get together. And the more perspectives you have, the better any plan's going to be, right? Looking at it from different angles.
This is another secret of planning that we probably wouldn't tell. We won't tell all of the other styles. But if you're working with other people, a plan is a really good thing because it means you know what everybody else should be doing. And that means that it's a whole lot less irritating when you want to know why they're being so slow. High Ds are always ahead of all of their deadlines because they like to check off things, and they see deadlines as a challenge, and they always think that other people are lagging behind. But if you have a project plan and everybody's tasks are on it, you can see where everybody else is supposed to be and who you're waiting for, and you don't have to go and have that conversation with them, which if they're a high C or a high S, they can find you scary and overbearing when you say, why haven't you done all your tasks? And maybe what you mean is, how can I help you do your tasks so that I can get my tasks done? But because you say, why haven't you done all your tasks, they find that scary and overbearing. So having a project plan can help you see what needs to be done by other people and approach those conversations more gently.
Yeah. Whenever you can, standardize planning. Even if the project isn't the same every time, the more you can use templates and checklists, the more brain power you can save for those more important tasks.
And more interesting tasks. And while we're talking about planning, write a plan, or the instruction, write a plan, includes planning your week. Because Hidees don't tend to plan their calendars any more than they plan their projects. Instead, they're driven by deadlines. Whatever's next up, or whoever's shouting the loudest, or whichever goal is more important in their mind, is the one they're putting the most effort towards. And we have a podcast called Sunday Evening Planning, which tells you how to plan your week. But essentially, put your priorities, which is your family, and then your big goals, onto your calendar first. Then consider whether the other items that are on your list aren't still needed. Leave some time for the unexpected, and then create your to-do list. Planning your week means that rather than going by shifting tides, you actually get the things done, and you start to not be driven by whatever's most urgent, but starting to get the non-urgent but important things done before they become urgent.
Well, you know we've always emphasized managing people as individuals. Now we're taking our own advice to heart by offering new pathways to professional excellence. We're launching three distinct licenses, the Career Tools License, the Manager Tools License, and the Executive Tools License. Each is specifically designed to provide resources and benefits tailored to your current career stage. Here's the best part. If you're considering becoming a licensee or due for a renewal, acting now could be incredibly advantageous. Purchase or renew your license before we launch, and you'll receive enhanced benefits at a lower price. How great is that? For existing licensees, keep an eye on your inbox for emails detailing how to seize this opportunity. We're genuinely excited about how this will empower your career growth. We're sharing this early because we don't want you to miss out. Your success drives us, and we're eager to give you every possible advantage. Thank you for being part of our community. We can't wait to embark on this new chapter of your career journey together.
Let's talk about, don't forget, the long-term strategy.
Which is the non-urgent but important things are essentially long-term strategy.
Yes, all of our less than favorite tasks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because there's no immediate reward to long-term things or non-urgent but important things. Now, like something that will help you in 4 months' time, there's no immediate reward to doing those tasks. So why would you do them?
Yeah, sounds like a later Amanda problem.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, the high Ds do bend towards immediate action that leads them to focus intensely on their current activities. And as we've already described, they often have a fuzzy picture of what lies in between and their ultimate target. This short-term focus can lead to a disconnection for those long-term goals and overall career trajectory. So to combat this tendency, Hidees need to deliberately set aside time to step back, raise their heads, and assess their overall direction. Without this periodic reflection, you could find that you've been pursuing targets that are nailed to the wrong tree.
That's the problem with always doing the next thing that occurs to you, is that you keep going, and then you discover you've been going down the wrong road all of the time, and discover that, oh, that's not... it reminds me of Wile E. Coyote, you know, when he keeps running, and then fancies run off the cliff. That's what a high D does. Whereas maybe one of the other styles would make sure that the road they were running down didn't go off a cliff. And we've talked before about, there are podcasts about career planning. We have the Executive Waypoint, if you're an executive, to give you those what to do when you're in those periodic times when you need to metaphorically lift your head and think about what comes next. And that's part of writing the written plan as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I feel bad saying this because, as I said, I'm a high D and I don't want to do this either. But a written plan is a written plan of where you're going to go in the next, let's not go too far. Let's not go to 5 years because nobody's going to do that. But a written plan of where you want to go in the next year and 6 months and 3 months and a month and this week. Because if you don't have all of those and then a plan for the project, each individual project, that's what happens. You end up like Wile E. Coyote running off the cliff, or you end up with a bunch of projects where they're all due at the same time and you're working 24 hours a day because the Heidi solution to I've got too much to do is work harder. Heidi doesn't say, oh, I've got all these deadlines, let's renegotiate them, or let's make the quality lower, or let's just say, like a high C would say, okay, there's 40 hours in a week, I've got 80 hours worth of tasks, so I'm going to like not do some of these tasks, or I'm going to ask for more resources or whatever. Heidi doesn't do that. They just say, I'm going to work harder. And if you don't look occasionally at the bigger picture, then you end up in those weeks where you have to work 80 hours a week. And if you don't look occasionally at that bigger picture, you end up with a whole run of those weeks. And yes, you can do that for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or a month or 2 months. But there is a point at which you can't do that anymore, because I hate to tell everybody this, but even as a high D, you are actually human. And there is a limit to how much work harder can work. And besides, as a high D, you're also the smartest of the styles. Don't let anybody tell you that different. And why would you work harder when you can work smarter? And planning out what you're going to do and therefore not ending up in those 80-hour weeks is the working smarter piece. Like, don't let that happen. And prove to everybody that you're smarter than letting that happen.
And Wendy, I'm just going to jump, because I'm not a high D tendency. Your family and your friends miss you when you have multiple 80-hour weeks. You might not think ahead like that, like, oh, people don't miss me, but we do. We, in fact, do like to hang out with all of our people, high D's included. So those 80-hour work weeks, you got to prioritize. Yes, you guys think you're robots and can do it all, but know that people do miss you when you have spent 3 months at your desk.
Okay. Right? I'm not going to
just play the other
account.
Side.
Those of you with children, you probably should take that into account, because, you know, your children like to know their parents. And then once you have established those year plan and your 6 month plan and your 3 month plan and your month plan and your week plan, and then the plans for your projects, you need some way to bring that into your daily activity, because you need to make those plans real in the moment, because the moment is where you live. And so some kind of tracker, some kind of plan on the wall so you can see it, in something that opens when you open your computer in the morning, you know, the screensaver says, hey, remember your plan, and, you know, puts a picture up of it, because otherwise it's something you created. It disappears into wherever you put it and you will never think about it again. Ask me how I know. You have to bring it into the moment and you have to keep thinking about it. Keep it in reality, and then make sure you have a reminder to do this again in another 3 months, because otherwise you won't think about it again until the next time you find yourself working for 80-hour weeks in a row and then finding out that that leads to burnout and a dead carcass for 3 months and you can't work to your own standard and you're really frustrated with yourself.
So remember, continue to regularly update this, look at it, refer back to it. Whatever your tracking mechanism is, keep it in the front of your mind. Don't just set it and forget it, right? It's not one of those cooking devices. You have to update it. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week to finish up this topic.